Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's always a pleasure to have with us a man whose acumen on matters involving immigration, I and I think most sentient beings in our polity these days regard as one of really the country's duty experts on the subject. He is the executive director of an indispensable organization in the Washington, D.C. area, the Center for Immigration Studies, a frequent contributor to National Review, and the author of several important books involving immigration policy and mispractice, I guess it's fair to say, including The New Case Against Immigration, Both Legal and Illegal. He is, of course, Mark Krikorian. You see him at Fox and elsewhere frequently. Thank heavens. We're always delighted to have him with us. Mark, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Well, we've been talking with several of our colleagues about the State of the Union address last night. There seems to be a general agreement, certainly one I share, that one of the low points of the speech was this advocacy that the president has taken up of late on behalf of, an amnesty for at least 1.8 million so-called DACA kids, generally not kids. You've written very, very thoughtfully about this in an article called The Art of the Choke at National Review. Talk about the policy as you see it now, Mark, and what may be the upshot of the president's talking about it last night.
Well, part of what the president's framework for an immigration bill, and that's really all it is sort of a one-page outline is all they've released so far. But parts of it are quite sound. I mean, he's insisting on enforcement elements, including a trust fund for the wall, where Congress would actually appropriate all the money up front so they couldn't welch on the deal later. Also, getting rid of the visa lottery and getting rid of chain migration. That's good. But there are two big problems in this framework. First is that the amnesty for people with DACA, the ones basically this illegal program that the president inherited from Obama, that amnesty goes way beyond just the people who have DACA. There are about 700,000 people who still have these work permits from this illegal program. And, you know, the illegality is on Obama. The people who signed up for this did so in good faith, presented their information. They have work permits. They were lawfully hired. And so I think there's a case to make, a prudential conservative case for cleaning up this mess that Obama left him. The problem is what the president is proposing is nearly three times the number of people to amnesty as under this DACA program. And that is, in fact, during the State of the Union speech, the president boasted that he was proposing an amnesty bigger than the one Obama gave. I've been joking that the J in Donald J. Trump maybe stands for Jeb.
Oh, that would really get under his skin.
The other shortcoming that he didn't really talk about this part of it as much during the speech was that the end of chain migration, getting rid of those categories where you can sponsor relatives other than spouse and minor children, which he keeps, everybody would keep, that's not even controversial, but siblings, parents, adult sons and daughters, he wants to get rid of those. Great. Amen. The problem is he's proposing to let every single person who's on the waiting list now in. Well, maybe that's not controversial, except it's 4 million people.
A lot of those extended family members, which in effect keeps the chain migration program going, especially if it's likely that he'll be overturned by some future president who wants to make it, you know, again, a fixture of our policy. One of the things that I was struck by, Mark, in your writing and certainly in our conversations, and Dennis Prager spoke about it in one of his pieces the other day, Michael Cutler has been all over this as well, and that is what really seems to be driving the Democrats' insistence on these kinds of amnesties and preserving the border's insecurity and preventing the enforcement of our existing, let alone tougher immigration laws in the interior, is an ambition to engage in what I now am increasingly inclined to call the fundamental transformation of our electorate. it was so evident in that part of the speech, in the president's remarks last night, that the Democrats were sitting on their hands during his discussion of stuff, even the conciliatory stuff, as you say. Talk us through that, Mark. What is the larger agenda here? And does that suggest that the Democrats won't agree to what the president's put on the table, even though it certainly has some elements that they would find presumably appealing?
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I mean, the goal of the Democrats isn't to fix the discrete, limited problem of the sliver of the illegal population that we call Dreamers. The goal is to keep immigration going at as high a level as possible indefinitely. And that's not just an issue of votes. I mean, in the long run, obviously, they're importing voters. But even in the shorter run, they're importing more clients for big government. And in a related way of looking at it, but they are exacerbating social problems that justify big government. Because if there are too many poor people, you import more, well, then they get to say, look, we need more government. If immigrants are poor and they're likely to lack health insurance, well, there you go. We need more government health insurance. If they come in and overwhelm the schools, well, guess what? We need to give the schools even more money and the teacher unions more power. And the voting thing is real. It's what everybody thinks of first, but that's more a long run thing. Really, it is to create a bigger constituency and necessity for ever growing government.
Right. Even before they may have a chance to actually vote for it. Mark, there is, as you know, and you have documented it brilliantly in the work of the Center for Immigration Studies and in your own writing, this faction within the Republican Party that is equally determined, apparently, to preserve the existing arrangements, effectively leaving the borders open and the rest. Sometimes this is dressed up by the notion that, well, in fact, the people who will be coming here are socially conservative, and therefore they will turn into the opposite of what you've just described in both the near and certainly in the longer term. Your thoughts on that subject?
Yeah, that's nonsense, but it's something, it's nonsense a lot of people believe, you know, that essentially there's a Republican inside each immigrant just waiting to come out. You know, that demeans immigrants themselves. They have particular political preferences. And their preferences, generally speaking, all the survey data over years and years from different sources shows that immigrants as a whole, obviously there's exceptions, but on average, support bigger government as opposed to smaller government, higher taxes as opposed to lower taxes, tighter regulation on the environment, tighter gun control. The only thing people can point to is, well, immigrants are more likely to be socially conservative or skeptical of abortion. And that's not even really true. Hispanic immigrants are slightly more likely to be socially conservative. It's not a big difference, quite frankly. Mexico City has gay marriage. So, you know, this fantasy about Latin American social conservatism is just that, a fantasy. But Hispanics are a little more conservative. Asians are less. It averages out.
Yeah. Lastly, and very quickly, if you would, the president talked about all Americans being dreamers. The Democrats seem to want no part of all of that. Are we likely to see the president and the Republican Party and the country, for that matter, saved from the downside risks of his new immigration stance by the Democrats?
I think so. I mean, because what the president has offered the Democrats, they should have leapt at and said, you know, fantastic, let's take this. They can't take yes for an answer. And I think the speech last night where the president said things like, Americans are dreamers too. Well, most people would say, well, yeah, okay, obviously. But that's alienating to the hard left of the Democrats, which is to say most Democrats. So, yeah, I think they're going to save us from the mistakes that the president is trying to make.
From your lips to God's ears, Mark Krikorian, as usual, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you for sending those messages to the Lord and the rest of us on this program. Mark, I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. Kevin Freeman joins us next. We'll talk about the economic dimensions of the president's address and specifically economic warfare, what it might mean for you right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.